I call this meeting of the House Preventive Health Division to order. The first item on the agenda is the roll call. Could the clerk please take the roll?
Chair Freiberg.
Present.
Freiberg, present. Vice Chair Bierman.
Present.
Bierman, present. Representative Grunhagen.
Present.
Grunhagen, present. Representative Akam.
Akam, present.
Akam, present. Representative Abaje.
Present.
Bajay, present. Representative Ackland.
Ackland, present.
Ackland, present. Representative Carlson.
Carlson's present.
Carlson, present. Representative Franzen. Representative Franzen. Representative Heintzman.
Present.
Heintzman, present. Representative Morrison.
Morrison, present.
Morrison, present. Representative Pryor.
Pryor, present.
Pryor, present. Chair, you have a quorum.
Okay, a quorum is present. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the February 23rd, 2022 meeting. Vice Chair Bierman, would you care to move approval of the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move the approval of the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, the minutes have been moved. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the February 23rd meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. We have one bill on the agenda today. It's House File 2156. There's a lot of interest in this bill and we've had a lot of people sign up to testify. As a result, we are going to have to limit testimony to 2 or 3 minutes, and I may have to cut in and ask you to wrap up your testimony if you go beyond that point. The way it will work is Representative Hollins will present the bill, and then she has, I think, 3 or 4 testifiers who are specifically with her to discuss portions of the bill, so they will then present. And then we will alternate between people who've signed up to testify in support of the bill and people who've signed up to testify in opposition to the bill. And I'm just because of the number of people testifying, it would be unwieldy, I think, to have member questions during that time. So I'm going to hold member questions until the conclusion of the testimony. And we will be voting the bill out at the end of this committee hearing. It is possible it could go a little bit past our scheduled adjournment time of noon, but I'm going to make every effort to end as close to noon as possible. Before we proceed with the bill, do any members have any questions about the way it will be proceeding? Okay, I don't see any. So welcome to the committee, Representative Hollins. You are not on the committee, so I will make the motion for the bill. Representative Heintzman?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I missed the opportunity as you were offering it to ask questions before we get rolling. I'm wondering if it's possible if we're going over, as you're suggesting, could likely be the case, just confirming that there'll be time for members to ask questions.
Yes, there will be time for that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Hollins, you have House File 2156. I will move that House File 2156 be recommended to be re-referred to the Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. Representative Hollins, welcome to the committee. Please present your bill.
Thank you so much, Chair Freiberg. It's an honor to be here with all of you today. Mr. Chair, lead members of the committee, I am here today with a long overdue bill to ban conversion therapy in our state. Conversion therapy includes a range of dangerous and discredited practices aimed at changing a person's sexual orientation or efforts to change a person's gender identity or expression. It preys on the fears of parents and does irreparable harm to children and young adults. Let me be very clear, conversion therapy is not a therapy at all. It's been denounced by every mainstream medical and mental health association, including the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. This bill seeks to prevent children, teens, and young adults from being coerced into treatments which are ineffective and lead to depression, decreased self-esteem, substance abuse, self-harm, and even suicide. It also seeks to help prevent parents from being taken advantage of by deceptive agents of conversion therapy industry. This bill does not affect religious or individual prayer practices, and the restrictions only apply for paid services rendered. I also want to note that 20 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and more than 75 cities nationwide have restricted this harmful practice. And in July of 2021, Governor Walz signed an executive order that banned state funding going to conversion therapy, but not the practice itself. We must move past this idea that queer people can choose their sexual and gender identity and let them show up as their authentic selves. Minnesota has the chance to continue leading on LGBTQ rights by passing this bill. I don't want to take up any more time because we are joined today by so many wonderful testifiers. I really hope that you'll listen to their stories, listen to the community, and look inside yourself and help make this dream a reality. So, Mr. Chair, I will turn it over to you or to them.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. I do have four people listed as part of your presentation. The first is Troy Stevenson. And after Troy Stevenson will be Assistant Commissioner Mary Manning. So welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, thank you. My name is Troy Stevenson. I am the Senior Campaign Manager for Advocacy and Government Affairs with the Trevor Project. The Trevor Project is the world's largest LGBTQ youth mental health suicide prevention organization. And we serve 24 hours a day through phone, chat, and text LGBT youth under the age of 23 who are facing suicidality. I thank you for the opportunity. This is a really important piece of legislation. As the person before me mentioned, this is something that has been discussed over the last decade in depth, and 20 states have passed comprehensive bans, and another six states have done similar. It's important for us to point out that LGBTQ youth who have faced conversion therapy in their lives are 27% more likely to face suicidality as opposed to those who did not. That that number goes up exponentially if you just take transgender and non-binary youth into account. I personally have dealt with this, and I think it's something that we get getting past the numbers, getting down to the people that are affected. You have when I was 15 years old, my partner, my first boyfriend, when we were children, had faced conversion therapy and actually ended up completing suicide while we were in school. And it had a devastating effect on so many of us. And that's the kind of repercussions that this practice has when youth face it. So we hope that you will move this forward. We hope that you will take the lives of young LGBTQ people in your state into account and move forward. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list is Assistant Commissioner Mary Manning, and after Mary Manning will be Aaron May Quaid. Welcome to the committee, Assistant Commissioner. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, committee. Good morning, Chair Freiberg. My name is Mary Manning, Assistant Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Health. Thanks for this opportunity to just present briefly on this bill. Our state is only as strong as our families, and it is in the best interest of the state to support the development and growth of strong families. There are times, however, when families and communities need the aegis of the state to clarify, support, and even facilitate family function. House File 2156 does this by articulating the practice parameters for mental health practitioners and mental health professionals. This bill clarifies that the practice of conversion therapy is not to be used by clinicians with people who are unable to speak or decide for themselves, or for children and for youth under 18 years of age, or with a vulnerable adult. There should be no ambiguity or uncertainty. There is appropriate scope for mental health practice and promotion for the treatment of mental health illnesses. In Minnesota, conversion therapy is not to be included in that portfolio practice. It should not be included in the practice for mental health licensed mental health practitioners or mental health professionals. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Assistant Commissioner. Next on the list is Aaron May Quaid, and after Aaron May Quaid, it will be Matthew Shirka. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Aaron May Quaid, and I am the Advocacy Director at Gender Justice, a nonprofit dedicated to advancing gender equity through the law. And I'm here to testify in favor of this conversion therapy ban. I want to start by saying, you know, the statistics for LGBTQ youth nationally are horrifying. We know that trans and LGBT students have mental health statistics that are far worse than their cisgender and heterosexual peers. In Minnesota, transgender students have seriously considered attempting suicide at rates that are more than triple that of their cisgender peers. They have self-harmed more, they've actually attempted suicide more, and we know from research out of the Trevor Project that conversion therapy, particularly among minors, contributes to these poor mental health outcomes. Oh my gosh, my computer just decided to turn off. Excuse me. I'll end by just saying this. We know that right now throughout the entire United States, legislation has been moving that attacks trans and LGBT youth, trans youth in particular, and these conversations that adults and legislators have about them are so important. I know that as we move through these legislative sessions, the conversations are around how trans and LGBT youth are immoral and disordered and that there is something wrong. And that is the foundation of conversion therapy, is that this can be changed when it cannot. And so this is an opportunity for this committee to move legislation that stands in support of trans and LGBT youth and in support of LGBTQ Minnesotans all over the state. And I urge you to vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next is Matthew Shirka. And after Matthew Shirka, we will turn to the public portion of the testimony, starting with Hunter Cantrell. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Matthew Shirka, and thank you for having me. I am the co-founder of Born Perfect, which is a national campaign created with the National Center for Lesbian Rights. I am myself a survivor of conversion therapy, and which is the very reason why I, you know, helped create this campaign at the National Center for Lesbian Rights, creating a network of survivors who are working tirelessly to end conversion therapy nationally. In my own experience, I experienced 5 years of conversion therapy from the ages of 16 to 21. I was done in multiple states because it is an industry, how conversion therapy works. There is a referral system between religious groups and licensed professionals or licensed practitioners who do conversion therapy. And I was stuck in that system until the age of 21. Since our work began and working with other national organizations like the Trevor Project or Human Rights Campaign, as you've heard repeatedly, 20 states have passed comprehensive bills, and it's now approximately over 100 cities if you include the ordinances and resolutions. There's some important numbers I would like to share that have done some research on this. So the UCLA Williams Institute states that there are 700,000 people living in the United States today that have been through conversion therapy. Half of them were under the age of 18 when they experienced conversion therapy. The Family Acceptance Project, which is a project at the San Francisco State University, did their study and shows that 60% of all participants in conversion therapy have attempted suicide. This isn't ideation, this is attempted. And we see these numbers staggering, including with the Trevor Project's research, that LGBTQ people who experience conversion therapy are at a much higher risk of suicide. Lastly, Born Perfect, because we have created a network of survivors who can reach out to us, whether they're looking for legal support from our legal team or mental health support. We also track conversion therapists. So our data shows right now in the state of Minnesota that there are 28 organizations that support or conduct conversion therapy. There are 86 therapists in the state of Minnesota doing conversion therapy. And we know that 34 of those 86 are, that we've been able to confirm so far, are licensed mental health professionals. So I want you to know that in the state of Minnesota, conversion therapy is prevalent. We hear from survivors every day, as well as other national organizations, and we are in great support of this bill passing swiftly. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. So we are turning now to the public testimony, starting with Hunter Cantrell, and after Hunter Cantrell will be Robert Post. Welcome to the committee. Nice to see you. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm former state representative Hunter Cantrell, and I'm here today to voice my strong support for House File 2156, a bill that would ban the heinous, harmful, and fraudulent pseudoscience of LGBTQ plus conversion therapy in the state of Minnesota. And as Mr. Shurka mentioned, conversion therapy is being practiced currently in Minnesota. We know that for a fact. I carried a similar bill while serving as the only openly gay member of the House during my term. And at that time, I heard numerous devastating stories from victims of conversion therapy who continue to suffer every day from the trauma to which they were subjected and the lasting damage that conversion therapy has done to their families. Practitioners of conversion therapy deceive parents into thinking there is something wrong with their children. They claim fraudulently that they have successful techniques for changing someone's sexuality. These techniques can involve physical abuse, but most often involve various forms of profound psychological torture and manipulation that deviate significantly from the standard of care that we expect our mental health practitioners in Minnesota to abide by. Every major professional health association has called for conversion therapy to be banned because it is scientifically impossible to change someone's sexual orientation and/or gender identity. And conversion therapy has been proven time and time again to cause tremendous psychological suffering under the guise of healing. LGBTQ plus people who were subjected to conversion therapy have a 92% greater likelihood of suicidal ideation and an 88% greater likelihood of attempting suicide, according to the Williams Institute at the University of California, Los Angeles. There is absolutely no constitutional right that allows mental health professionals to hurt children or to otherwise offer dangerous and illegitimate healthcare services for religious or any other reason. We expect our healthcare practitioners in the state of Minnesota to offer the highest standard of care, not to harm patients, especially not children. In fact, it is the responsibility of the legislature to protect children, and indeed all Minnesotans, from fraudulent healthcare practices such as conversion therapy that have been definitively proven time and time again to cause significant long-lasting harm, as we as a state do pride ourselves on offering state-of-the-art, world-class healthcare that people should be able to trust. LGBTQ plus people are perfect just the way they are, and it is not their fault that they were born into a world full of animosity and hate towards them that does not understand them. This is a great bill, members, and one simple action that this committee can take to stand up for the most vulnerable among us. Please protect kids and secure patient safety in Minnesota. Please vote yes on this bill, and please ban LGBTQ plus conversion therapy in Minnesota once and for all. I thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list is Robert Post, or Robert Paul Post. I apologize if I got your name wrong. I think the way you signed up, it might be different from what your Zoom name is showing. And after Robert Paul Post will be Christy Rushfeldt. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hello. I go by R. Paul Post, and I'm a family physician and the state director of the American Academy of Medical Ethics. As a physician, I would like to express my concerns about HF 2156, which should not be passed by this legislature. We are in an era when the current trend in medicine is to only practice evidence-based medicine. This bill seeks to ban, quote, conversion therapy, end quote, which is a provocative, pejorative, and ill-defined term, which attempts to lump all therapy that seeks to help an individual dealing with sexual orientation as a cruel form of aversive therapy. It is a jamming tactic that combines both anti-religious illusions, conversion, implicitly forced, along with intimidation against therapists who allow patient-directed investigation of possible change. There's very little evidence that this occurs in the setting of licensed behavioral therapists, despite what some of the previous speakers have said. In the past, it has been done by some lay people, but there's no way to regulate these individuals anyway. However, the medical literature does document tens of thousands of cases with appropriate therapy by licensed therapists, where with work on uncovering, exploring, and healing past wounds, many with same-sex attraction or SSA slowly develop opposite sex attraction. Surprisingly, it does not go the other way, OSA to SSA. The lone exception to this is where OSA males were sexually molested and thus wounded by their male therapists. If this bill is passed, it would put a limit on treatment options available to patients and therapists. It would deprive adults and children of the freedom to set their own counseling goals and objectives, and will likely drive some children and adults to suicide by forbidding therapy for underlying issues. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list is Christy Rushfelt, and after Christy will be Dale Witherington. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Christy Rushfelt, she, her pronouns, and I am a clinical therapist from Rainbow Health, which is an organization that predominantly serves LGBTQ plus folks, folks that are living with or impacted by HIV, and other populations that are traditionally marginalized by healthcare settings as they are. I've worked in the mental health and substance abuse field for 17 years, and many of the clients that I've seen and served are LGBTQ plus. I'm also a queer person myself and a survivor of religious trauma. It's, as others have stated, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that we're still having this conversation. The American Psychological Association removed being a sexual minority from being a disorder in 1973. Gender identity disorder was removed from the DSM-5 in 2013, and the only aspect of any kind of mental health consideration that remains there is gender dysphoria, which speaks to the distress experienced by gender minorities if not allowed to move toward their gender that is chosen by them and not what they were assigned at birth. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration concluded that sexual orientation or gender change efforts are coercive, can be harmful, and should not be a part of behavioral health treatment. As others have stated, vulnerable families and children who are seeking help and are desperate are told that this is treatment when there's no evidence that it exists as any kind of benefit to these folks. It otherwise results in shame and guilt and has been compared to psychological torture, as has been mentioned. And if people are feeling, if it's experienced as torture, it would make sense to me that people are going to say what you want to hear. So if others advocate that there are success stories to this, it goes without saying that some people might be saying, okay, I'm not queer, I'm not a gender minority anymore because I don't want to go through this anymore. In my organization of Rainbow Health in 2019, a group was formed to help survivors of religious trauma who are LGBTQ+, and that has now had multiple cycles over the last 3 years. Each time has been full of survivors and have been had wait lists for people that want to be in the next round, with no signs of having less of a need coming soon. I always say that it's my goal to work myself out of a job. We don't want people to continue to be traumatized by these things or to have to offer these services, but unless conversion therapy and other coercive practices are banned, I fear that we'll continue to see these high levels of trauma amongst members of our community. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier on the list is Dale Witherington, followed by Emily Flower. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Dale Witherington. I lead a ministry called Restore Minnesota, which began and continues as a voluntary chaplaincy ministry to the members of the House and Senate at the Capitol. I am here this morning to oppose HF 2156, and it goes back to being present when a previous testifier this morning, our former state representative, presented that bill before the House committee, and he said this bill was based on two facts. The first fact is that people are born gay, and the second fact that they cannot be changed. So let's examine those so-called facts. First, is it true that people are born gay? In 2019, the largest international genetic study that has ever been conducted on this issue, a study that focused on 480,000 people from the United States and the United Kingdom, a group that's approximately 100 times larger than any previous study of the link between genetics and same-sex attraction, concluded there is no such thing as a gay gene. In other words, according to the professionals at the Stanley Center for Psychiatric Research, the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, and Massachusetts General Hospital's Analytical and Translational Genetic Unit, people are not born gay. To be fair, the study concluded that same-sex attraction is shaped by a complex mix of genetic and environmental influences, but to say people are born gay is a half-truth at best. Second, the question is, can gay people change and become straight? The bill's premise is based on the belief that gay people cannot change. This is a flat-out lie. You will hear, or you've already heard from those whose lives have been transformed from gay to straight, either because they sought counseling, professional licensed counseling, and wanted to change, or they experienced a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ changed them. There are thousands of those that we can bring to you who will give their personal testimonies and truths about this transformation. So the premises of this bill are false. Finally, please examine the fact that this bill is also likely a violation of civil rights laws, as well as being a violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution, since as it is currently written, this bill makes no provision for professionals to be able to help those who want to be released from unwanted same-sex attraction. This is a private, my body, my choice healthcare issue. Please let the healthcare professionals do the healthcare, and please vote no on HF 2156. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Emily Flower, and Emily Flower will be followed by Luca Gropoli. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. My name is Emily Flower. I am here to testify in favor of the bill. I am here as our Paul Post referred, an OSA to SSA through therapy, through resolving my personal issues, understanding that one of them was that I was denying my truth. There's several things that I think are important to address. One, it is pseudoscience. It's proven that there is no benefit from conversion therapy. It is proven that there is increased harm to people who have participated, who have been subjected to conversion therapy. Suicide rates, susceptibility to violence, increased vulnerability and homelessness. These things in this day and age of technology, when it is as simple as Googling answers, are unacceptable. It's unacceptable for us to allow these falsities to continue when they're proven. It's unacceptable that people come and provide false information on boards like this. It's unacceptable that we're continuing, that we are now in the year 2022 discussing this when we have all of this information available to us. This practice causes harm. To continue to pretend that this isn't an extreme violent attack on the well-being of human members of our society is unacceptable. And any other population of people subjected to this would be protected by our laws. And I think that that's the intent of this bill, is protection. I don't think that it matters whether someone is born gay or socialized gay. I don't think that that's relevant. I think that what's relevant is that the practice of conversion therapy, which, to be clear, is therapy designed to influence the gender identity or sexual preference of a person, is that's continuing this is unacceptable for that reason. This is not to say that that people questioning their gender identity or sexual preference should not receive therapy, as one of the previous testifiers suggested. That has not been suggested. The bill protects against therapy that is specifically designed to influence a person's gender identity or sexual preference, which has been.
You can finish. I don't mean to cut you off completely. You can finish up with one or two sentences, but you are at time.
Which has been proven harmful. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Luca Gropoli, and after Luca Gropoli will be Ellen Kennedy. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Luca Joe Gropoli, and I'm from Stillwater, Minnesota. I find this bill to be completely discriminatory against, once again, the LGBTQ community. I was transgender for 34 years, and to tell a group of people that they don't have the right to seek help is audacious and the most unloving thing that I think I've ever heard of. My heart is just bewildered at why you would take a certain group of people and say, okay, you can have therapy, but you can't. I don't know where I'm living anymore that we would, as the government, would say you don't have that right to do that anymore. And secondly, I would implore you to seek out this conversion therapy. There's not one listing of it anywhere in the United States who does conversion therapy. Now, I, being transgender for 34 years, I had some sexual brokenness because I was abused. Once that abuse was addressed and I got help, those things, I wasn't in the market to stop being transgender, stop being gay. I just wanted that stuff to be healed in my heart. And once that happened, I no longer wanted to be transgender anymore. I felt safe in my identity. So the most loving thing you can do is allow people the right. Furthermore, obviously I'm against the HF 2156. And lastly, I just want to say that just because you make a bill that says it's against the conversion therapy, that doesn't mean we're going to stop. We know the Constitution. The Constitution's on our side, and we're willing and ready to go to the bat and go to jail. So thank you, and God bless.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Ellen Kennedy, and after Ellen Kennedy will be Darren Meal. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg, committee members. I'm Dr. Ellen Kennedy, the Executive Director of World Without Genocide, and an adjunct professor at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul. I speak today for this bill on behalf of a member of my own family and all others who are marginalized because of who they are. Some groups maintain that an individual can change their sexual orientation or gender identity through religious efforts or conversion therapy. As we've heard, research has disproven this. Therapy is, in fact, harmful, especially for minors. And I will highlight five significant sources of opposition to conversion therapy. First, cities and states. We've heard 20 states have banned this practice, coast to coast and north to south. Eight of those 20 state laws were enacted by Republican governors. Of the 75 cities and counties in 14 states that have passed restrictions, it includes five Minnesota cities. Second, the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court refused to hear challenges to anti-conversion therapy laws in both California and New Jersey. The court affirmed that it is constitutional to ban conversion therapy. Third, every major medical and mental health organization in the U.S. condemns the use of conversion therapy. The American Psychological Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. Fourth, major legal organizations want a ban on conversion therapy. In 2015, the leading national organization, the American Bar Association, 60,000 members in 84 chapters, passed a resolution urging the federal government and all state and local governments to ban conversion therapy. Finally, fifth, at the international level, the United Nations has stated that conversion therapy is degrading and discriminatory and should be banned. These five sources of opposition, states and cities throughout our country, the United States Supreme Court, medical organizations, legal experts, and the United Nations, provide authoritative reasons to ban conversion therapy in Minnesota. They urge us to allow young people to be fully valued in the human family as they are. I urge support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Dr. Kennedy. Next is Darren Meal, and after Darren Meal will be the Reverend Chris McArdle. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. I'm Darren Meal, and I'm a licensed minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and I recently provided pastoral care for a distraught parent of a nine-year-old who came home from school with a PowerPoint telling the parent that the child is now transgender and has picked a new name and pronouns and that the parent must now follow. The child told the parent that they must do this because they have the support of the school and the transgender community, and this is just the way it's going to be. In the PowerPoint presentation of a nine-year-old, the child made it known that the parent would have to, quote, grieve the loss of their child, but LOL, I was never really that child anyways, unquote. The transgender cult religion had killed the authentic identity of that child. The unconstitutional bill before you will remove the parents' inalienable rights to combat this LGBTQ jihad against their child. This bill will require the parent to grieve the loss of their child and in the future recognize the child as a transgender identity that they know that their child is not. This is religious tyranny and an attack on the rights of parents of the most wicked kind. The bill before you will prevent this parent from seeking licensed therapy for the child for whom this parent knows has recent family trauma and serious social struggles in school, and that the transgender indoctrinators at her school use that to confuse the child and lead them into a false identity. This bill is a wicked attempt to protect the LGBTQ indoctrination of children in schools. Representative Bierman, being my representative, you'll recall that in 2019, I came to your office and shared the Changed Movement book containing dozens of testimonies of people who once lived as LGBTQ and have changed. And I shared my own testimony of coming out of the homosexual lifestyle through the power of Jesus Christ. You listened, and I appreciated that. You also shared your heart on the issue, mentioning that you had LGBTQ family members. When I asked if you would support this bill, you emphatically said yes. I mentioned to you that it's unconstitutional because it prohibits free speech, talk therapy is speech after all, and prohibits the free exercise of religion of the parents and their children. And you told me that those facts didn't matter to you. I was shocked when you told me that and asked if you intended to stop religious speech. And you were quite clear in saying that you did believe that it is harmful and that it should be prohibited. You then told me of the testimonies of the LGBT community that were there that day, and you attempted to convince me that I was wrong. In conclusion, there's a problem here, Representative Bierman, and take note, everybody else. There is an unconstitutional religious jihad going on by the LGBT lobby. They are pushing lies, and they know, and you know, that it's unconstitutional, these laws that are being passed against across this country. You representatives have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. In passing this unconstitutional bill, you will show that you are an oath breaker. And under the 14th Amendment, Article 3, the citizens of our country can charge you with breaking your oath to uphold our Constitution and disqualify you from holding office again in this country.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is the Reverend Chris McArdle, and after Chris McArdle will be Laura Haynes. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg and committee members, for the opportunity to testify today in support of HF 2156. I am the Reverend Chris McArdle, the pastor of the First Congregational Church in Anoka. I speak to you today as a cisgender, heterosexual, ordained minister within the United Church of Christ, but I do not profess to speak for the whole of the church. I speak to you on behalf of my congregation, which openly welcomes and celebrates LGBTQIA+ persons as full members of the body of Christ. I don't expect you to vote on this bill, however, based on testimony that is brought to you by a Christian. I simply want you to recognize that the church is far from monolithic where this subject is concerned. My education that Christians who support conversion therapy usually do so on a narrow understanding of a handful of brief passages in the Bible that allegedly declare queerness to be a sin. I assure you that every single one of these passages is ambiguous in their meaning at best. And to claim otherwise is to press modern prejudices onto an ancient context that was largely unconcerned by such things. In fact, historians have discovered that the word homosexual was mistakenly included in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible that came out in the 1950s. That is a mistake that has had dire consequences. In my time as a pastor, I have cared for people who have been subjected to conversion therapy, and they universally condemn it. Doctors, therapists, and other health professionals, as you have heard today, repeatedly tell us that it is destructive. My faith assures me that our diverse sexualities and genders are not aberrant, they are gifts. I have no doubt that you have been bombarded with Christian messaging that says the opposite. Indeed, my church in Anoka has been publicly protested and even vandalized because of our welcoming stance. I urge you to reject prejudice, embrace the best practices of our health sector, vote in favor of House File 2156, and finally ban the destructive practice of conversion therapy, as you have written in your bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Laura Haynes, and after Laura Haynes will be Claire Willett. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony. Is Laura Haynes here? Okay, I'm not seeing Laura, so I will move to Claire.
I'm sorry, I had to unmute. Sorry, I'm here.
Sure. Okay, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
I apologize. I am Laura Haynes, psychologist and general board member representing the International Federation for Therapeutic and Counseling Choice. We use evidence-based methods and well-established practices therapists use around the world and never use aversive or coercive methods. We oppose this bill. Same-sex attraction and incongruent gender identity are not simply biologically determined or who someone biologically is. The American Psychological Association's APA Handbook of Sexuality and Psychology says there are psychoanalytic causes. It said childhood sexual abuse may be a cause for some people having same-sex partners. Rigorous studies in the U.S. and Finland have found that psychiatric conditions and suicidality often exist before onset of adolescent gender incongruence, therefore may be causes for it. Treating causes may reduce resulting sexual attraction or gender feelings. These are professional organizations worldwide. There are organizations that support the right to this therapy. For people who do reduce same-sex attraction through therapy, psychological well-being strongly improves. Even for people who do not change, they continue to identify as LGB, suicidality decreases. The leading study, Claiming Harm, Blasnich 2020, used data collected for the LGB Affirmative Williams Institute at the University of Los Angeles. This study failed to compare suicidality rates before and after therapy. Studies that have been referred to today claiming proof of harm do not compare suicidality or psychological problems before and after change exploring therapy, and admit their methods do not rightly allow them to conclude therapy causes harm. Harm claiming studies regularly make this mistake, and professional organizations have claimed harm based on them. When Solins in 2022 corrected this mistake using the Blasnich data set, the results turned upside down. Most of the suicidality was before therapy. Suicidality rates, he found, and harmful behaviors mostly occurred before therapy. Suicidality rates for people who do not change decreased to 5 times lower after change therapy. The United Nations has no binding treaty that mentions change exploring therapy. Many UN nations oppose a therapy ban. For adolescent gender dysphoria, change exploring therapists follow Finland's first line government recommendation to resolve gender dysphoria by resolving predisposing disorders and not changing bodies. HF 1256 punishes Finland's first line government recommended treatment for adolescent gender dysphoria. This is a disaster. There is not professional consensus in support of HF 1256. I urge you, vote no.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Claire Willett, and after Claire Willett will be Andrew Rodriguez. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Chair Freeberg, committee members, thank you for this opportunity to speak with you today in support of this bill. My name is Claire Willett. I'm a sophomore at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I grew up in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, where I was the 2019 recipient of the Eden Prairie Human Rights Award. I've spent countless nights crying over my identity. I have wished hundreds of times that I was normal and I wouldn't be different from my peers. Society taught me that I was broken for loving who I love, but after yearning for straightness for so long, I realized that my queerness is never going to go away. I was always meant to be the person I am today, and I am so grateful to have come to a place where I can love myself and celebrate all facets of my identity. I'm so proud to be a part of such a beautiful community, and I found so much happiness by surrounding myself with positive people who love me. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a family where my queer identity was more accepted than most, but many children do not have that luxury. Queer children often ostracize themselves and are ostracized by their peers who have been taught that queerness is wrong, but no child should ever be bullied by adults. Queerness is not a choice, and it's not something that can be shamed, forced, or tortured out of a child. Conversion therapy doesn't fix lives, it destroys them. It further separates children from the families who are supposed to love and support them no matter what, and creates irreparable rifts. Innocent children cannot consent to conversion therapy, and we have the opportunity to protect youth against this incredibly harmful practice. The children of Minnesota deserve so much better than a youth marred by shame and internal loathing. Queer people will never be eradicated, but we can eliminate hate. The cycle of violence against queer people ends with us, and it ends with your vote. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Andrew Rodriguez, and after Andrew Rodriguez will be the Reverend Michelle Weber. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, thanks, committee. My name is Andrew Rodriguez. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I work with a variety of clients, but one of my specialties is working with clients who would like to explore change in their sexual feelings and behavior. I stand opposed to any of these bans that have been out there here for the past 10 years for multiple reasons. There are violations of our basic rights to freedom of speech and therefore freedom of thought and the free practice of religious conviction. In the counseling and psychology field, we're supposed to uphold the ethical principle of respecting a client's right to self-determination. I appreciate the wording in this bill that the proposal protects the right of clients and therapists to engage in the topic of gender and sexuality in a more exploratory manner, like in a neutral manner. And that's good that you have that there in the bill. However, once a client decides on a goal, this bill limits the client's therapeutic options. And that's a violation of the principle of self-determination. LGBT activists believe they are justified in violating self-determination because of their claim that therapy to explore sexual identity, sexual attraction, and behavior change is harmful. Everyone just repeats this mantra that is harmful and that it's been decided, it's been proven that it's harmful, but they don't actually produce the research that justifies those claims because they don't have the research to justify those claims. Even the APA, the American Psychological Association, admitted in their 2009 task force report on appropriate therapeutic responses to sexual orientation on page 42, quote, the limited number of rigorous early studies and complete lack of rigorous recent prospective research on SOCI, sexual orientation change efforts, limits claims for the efficacy and safety of SOCI, unquote. And then when it comes to counseling minors on page 72, they say, quote, there is a lack of published research on SOCI among children, unquote. Yet this APA task force report has been used to justify bans starting with California and on through the present. And yet still, even 10 years later or so, still they have not produced the prospective research, meaning let's study clients before beginning therapy, their levels of well-being, and their levels of same-sex attraction and behavior and identity. And then after therapy, let's measure those again to see if they were harmed definitively. I actually get proof to see if they were harmed and to see if change was even possible. The APA, the LGBT activists have not produced this. We've only just recently had the first prospective study done. And before that point, we've only had retrospective studies, and they showed both both outcomes, but people claiming harm, people claiming benefit. So the best research to date and the only prospective one done was Pila and Sutton study published in 2021, a longitudinal study of 75 men doing reintegrative therapy. And it showed that their well-being improved over the course of therapy and their sexuality shifted along a continuum, identity, attractions, feelings, and thoughts.
You are at 3 minutes, so if you could please just wrap up your testimony with a few sentences, that would be great.
Thank you. So anyway, therapy would be violating clients' right to obtain that type of therapy, which is just good counseling. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list is Reverend Michelle Weber, and after Reverend Michelle Weber will be Kevin Peterson. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Michelle Weber. I'm an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ and a resident of Clay County, Minnesota. In 2021, my denomination passed a resolution calling on clergy and congregations to condemn conversion therapy, citing the Williams Institute report from 2020 that was referred to by Mr. Cantrell, which found that LGBTQ plus people who were subjected to conversion therapy have shown 92% greater odds of lifetime suicidal ideation as compared to LGBTQ people who have not undergone conversion therapy. It has been the consensus of mental health care professional organizations that these techniques do not convert, repair, change, or shift an individual's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, and that they are against the fundamental principles of mental health care treatment. In short, conversion therapy is both harmful to mental health and against mental health care professional standards. My faith and my experience of God as the energy of love calls me to speak for this bill against conversion therapy. My study of the two testaments of the Christian Bible show me, as they do Reverend McArdle, that neither God nor the Bible condemns same-gender loving or gender expansive people. A review of the healing stories of Jesus shows that people left his treatment whole, not 92% more broken. HF 2156 calls for the protection of the most vulnerable among us, minors and vulnerable adults. If a type of cast or splint that we use in medical care to increase limb amputation by 92%, even if one study said that, we would ban the use of the cast or splint. Continuing to use it would be criminal. And that's the point we are at with conversion therapy. The practice is harmful, barbaric even. Professionals in the field say it is a violation of ethics. 92% of people who receive this treatment are harmed by it. It is time for the state of Minnesota to ban this practice. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Kevin Peterson has signed up to testify in opposition. Kevin Peterson, are you here? Okay. I do not see Kevin Peterson. If he returns, I can certainly call on him at some point. But next on the list was Audrey Dobson. And after Audrey Dobson is Arthur Shaper. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Morning, Chairman. Just to clarify, it's Aubrey Dobson with a B. Very close. Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee for allowing me the honor to speak in the support of banning conversion therapy. I appreciate the facts and statistics that have been brought to the table this morning, but I would ask that you listen to my testimony as a human being that suffered under the treatment of conversion therapy. In 2009, at the direction of my parents, I was forcibly removed from my home by two off-duty police officers and taken to a wilderness program and subjected to 10 months of conversion therapy and subsequent psychological and physical torture. I can tell you definitively, as I'm married to a wonderful woman named Kate, that therapy was not successful, but did result in 13 years of actual talk therapy to recover from the torture that I received as a child. I was not protected or cared for during my therapy, and I implore those who are making the decision today to understand that the government always has the power to protect children from physical or mental harm, and by banning conversion therapy, you'll be doing just that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, and I apologize for getting your name wrong. Next on the list is Arthur Shaper, and after Arthur Shaper is Chris Meyerhofer. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you very much. My name is Arthur Shaper. I'm the organization director for Mass Resistance. We are the international pro-family group that makes the difference. The state legislature has signaled an intention to ban reparative, not conversion therapy. This is a terrible idea that puts vulnerable children in danger and supports a radical, hateful ideology. Homosexual and transgender behavior is very often a result of early sexual trauma, such as molestation, rape, exposure to pornography, abuse, or serious issues with one or both parents. Skilled health professionals help people heal those severe emotional wounds and work through those issues. Reparative therapy is literally a lifesaver. Radical LGBT activists want to make it illegal to offer this help because it contradicts their political agenda. They believe that parents and children should not have a choice, and they are wrong. There are a number of people who have gotten health and healing from these reparative or restorative or reintegrative therapies. I must echo the sentiment issued by other testimonials. Conversion therapy is a misnomer, and it is a distraction. It is a false label. Furthermore, there is a number of individuals who have testified that all of these organizations state that conversion therapy or reparative therapy is bad. Many of these organizations change their stance on therapeutic choice only because of political bullying or political lobbying. It had nothing to do with science. It had nothing to do with research. Truth is not established by a consensus of organizations. There was a time when people actually believed that the sun revolved around the earth and that the earth was flat. We establish truth based on science and research, not consensus of opinion. Pushing this bill, LGBT activists want to conduct a campaign of disinformation. They tell lurid and untrue stories about children being electrocuted or suffering a bizarre abuse from therapists, when the truth is there have been no documented complaints to regulatory agencies of such abuses by professional therapists in 50 years. They claim that the research shows that professional therapy causes depression, anxiety, etc., but such research is often only from radical activist sources and is completely untrustworthy. They will claim the American Psychological Association issued a statement condemning conversion therapy. However, the past president of the APA, Dr. Nicholas Cummings himself, told reporters the APA was intimidated and harassed by the gay rights movement. And that is why the APA does not even allow open debate on the issue. Dr. Cummings stated that issue publicly, and he uses the therapy successfully. And I must correct another error that was declared. Indeed, banning reparative therapy is unconstitutional. June 26, 2018, the United States Supreme Court issued in their ruling in NIFLA v. Becerra, the government cannot create a professional speech category that has less protection under the First Amendment. In 2019, the Federal District Court of Central Florida struck down a reparative therapy ban in the case of Vatsal v. Tampa. And even one of the most pro-LGBT cities in the country, New York City, they were forced to repeal their citywide consummate reparative therapy ban following the legal challenge of Schwartz versus the City of New York. I assure you, the state of Minnesota will face a lawsuit and they will lose if they attempt to ban this life-giving, life-saving, reparative or reintegrative therapy process. It is a violation of the First Amendment. It is a violation of natural law. It is a violation.
Mr. Shaper, please conclude your testimony.
And I speak on behalf of our activists in the state of Minnesota. Reject House File 2156. Thank you.
All right. The only testifiers remaining are in support of the bill. We had more sign up to testify in support of the bill than in opposition. So the next testifier is Chris Meyerhofer, and after Chris Meyerhofer will be Charlie Schmidt. Welcome to the committee. Please proceed with your testimony after identifying yourself.
Greetings. Thank you, Chair Freiberg and members of the committee. My name is Dr. Chris Meyerhofer. My pronouns are he and him. I'm a pediatrician with experience taking care of a lot of LGBTQ youth and adolescents, and I work in primary care in Minneapolis. I'm testifying on behalf of myself, those patients, and the Minnesota chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. I'm testifying today in strong support of House File 2156 to ban conversion therapy once and for all. I love my job. I get to have a lot of fun and also have a lot of really deep conversations. This often includes discussions of gender and sexuality. I have many patients who have come out to me before they come out to their parents. Most of them have been terrified of being rejected. We know that young people who identify as LGBTQ face increased rates of discrimination, anxiety, depression, addiction, homelessness, and suicide. This is often tied to family rejection. We also know that the thing that protects most against these negative outcomes is having a supportive home environment. LGBTQ individuals who have a supportive home environment have about the same level of mental health concerns as their heterosexual cisgender peers. Conversion therapy is the most extreme form of family rejection. I want to be very clear. There is no clinical scenario where conversion therapy would be appropriate. None. This is not to say parents who hold different values about sexuality and gender need to abruptly change those deeply held views. In that case, family-based therapy would be completely appropriate. However, the goal should never be to change the child to meet the expectation of the parent. Diversity of gender identity and sexuality is completely normal. There is no right orientation. There's no evidence you can change a person's identity or sexuality. The history of medicine is full of treatments that at the time seemed very reasonable, but in retrospect were completely unethical. Conversion therapy is one of these treatments. As others have said, it's been rejected by every major medical association as well as the United Nations, and it's time we ban it for good in Minnesota. Thanks for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony, Dr. Meyerhofer. The next testifier is Charlie Schmidt, and after Charlie Schmidt will be Nikki Hangsleben. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
All right. Hello. Thank you all for giving me time to speak today. My name is Charlie Schmidt. I'm a gay sophomore currently attending Washburn High School in Minneapolis, and I represent Congressional District 5 in the Minnesota Youth Council. I'm here today to voice my full support for this bill. Conversion therapy for decades has been what LGBTQ teens fear most. Conversion therapy is the embodiment of societal rejection of people like me. When kids decide to expose themselves to the world for the first time by coming out, this rejection is what they feel from parents who decide to undergo conversion therapy for their kids. For me, coming out as gay was one of the scariest experiences of my life. The day I decided to come out to my family, I had a bag with all the essentials I needed to run away from home if they rejected me and cast me out. I was lucky. My parents supported me unconditionally. But a lot of teens are not lucky. They face the denial of their parents forcing them into conversion therapy. These kids whose families rejected them had to face major challenges. Conversion therapy is forcing children against their will to pretend to be something that they are not. This causes major stress in the lives of LGBTQ kids. The Trevor Project found that youth who reported undergoing conversion therapy were more than twice as likely to report having attempted suicide as their LGBTQ peers who did not experience conversion efforts. LGBTQ teens are already four times more likely to commit suicide than their peers. So that's an 8 times increase for your average teen to someone who has undergone conversion therapy. Conversion therapy also just doesn't work. We learned this years ago from a study in 2007 conducted by the American Psychological Association. The study showed that, quote, results of scientifically valid research indicate that it is unlikely that individuals will be able to reduce same-sex attractions or increase other sexual attractions through conversion therapy, end quote. The prohibition of conversion therapy will improve the lives of thousands of Minnesotan teens who are just coming to terms with who they are. I ask you today, as the only minor testifying, to please vote yes on House File 2156 for the sake of all LGBTQ youth like me. Thank you to the committee for their time today.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Nikki Hangsleben, and after Nikki will be Zaylor Stout. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nikki Hangsleben. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the executive director and founder of Queer Space Collective, a new organization based in the Twin Cities providing mentorship to LGBTQ youth. We launched this organization in 2021 as a response to the alarming statistics facing LGBTQ plus youth in Minnesota and across our country. Based on the excellent research by the Trevor Project, we know that LGBTQ youth are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their hetero peers and also make up 40% of the youth homeless population. The increased level of anxiety, depression faced by this at-risk population of youth is due in part to the unsafe environments in which they live and the lack of acceptance within their homes, schools, and communities. In our work with LGBTQ youth and the adults who directly support them, we've seen the damage done by conversion therapy. We greatly value the role of therapists and mental health practitioners in the lives of youth, yet understand those that practice conversion therapy dangerously assumes that there's something wrong with the LGBTQ youth, and that something needs to be changed. It is not the minds and actions of our youth that need to be converted. It is the responsibility of those in our community to support and celebrate them for exactly who they are. As an organization, we are committed to creating space where LGBTQ youth feel safe and empowered to be their true selves, and so we stand in strong support of this bill, which bans conversion therapy. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. The next testifier is Zaylor Stout, and after Zaylor Stout will be Samantha Diaz. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Freiberg and committee members. Thank you so much for allowing for me to testify today. My name is Zaylor Stout, and I use he, him pronouns. I'm a resident of North Minneapolis and an attorney, former board member for Reclaim, current board member of Twin Cities Quorum, and author of Our Gay History in 50 States. I'm here to speak in support of House File 2156, a bill that would ban conversion therapy here in the state of Minnesota. Based on the prior testimony and the evidence that's out there, the evidence is clear that conversion therapy harms LGBTQ plus youth, stifles their growth and creativity, and more often leads to depression, substance abuse, suicidal ideation, both when they're young people as well as when they become adults. But as a historian who's chronicled the history of our community, I'd like to share some highlights to provide us with some context today. One of the toughest military enlistments in the Civil War was served by Private Albert D.J. Cashier in 1862 after President Lincoln called for soldiers. Cashier marched thousands of miles and fought in dozens of battles and skirmishes with the 95th Illinois Infantry. Cashier continued fighting until after Lee surrendered to Grant. Dr. Alan L. Hart was an American physician, radiologist, and tuberculosis researcher. In 1917, he was one of the first trans men to undergo hysterectomy here in the United States. After transitioning, Dr. Hart helped alter medical history by pioneering the use of X-rays to detect tuberculosis in the chest. Computer scientist Mary Ann Horton wrote what she called a, quote, dumb little program, end quote, back in 1980. Which then ended up becoming and is widely recognized as being the technology that resulted in us being able to provide attachments to emails. You see, transgender people have always been here and they will always continue to be here. We all benefit from the continuing to allow them to live their true and authentic lives. So how many Private Albert Cashiers, how many Dr. Alan Harts, how many computer scientists, Mary Ann Hortons, are we stifling by allowing the practice of conversion therapy to continue in our state? Support this bill. Support LGBTQ plus you. Support the betterment of our entire society. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up is Samantha Diaz, and after Samantha Diaz will be Holly Parsons. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Preventative Health Committee. My name is Samantha Diaz, and I am the director of Pillsbury United Communities Office of Public Charter Schools. We are a charter school authorizer of 18 public schools with serving over 9,000 students. I am here to extend strong support for House File 2156, which prohibits conversion therapy with children and vulnerable adults. It is unconscionable that in 2022, there is still a need for this legislation. This legislative solution to protect our young people from an abusive and traumatizing practice of conversion therapy. Conversion therapy has been denounced by every mainstream medical and mental health association, including the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, and American Psychiatric Association. Back in 1998, the American Psychiatric Association published an official report on the practice stating that conversion therapy is based on the assumption that homosexuality per se is a mental disorder, or is based on the priori assumption that the patient should change his or her homosexual orientation. Simply put, this practice is baseless, unscientific, invalid, and most of all, inhumane. As a public school authorizer that serves countless LGBTQIA+ youth, families, and community members, We expect our schools to provide an inclusive, respectful, and dignified environment for our young people every day. Our LGBTQIA+ youth bring incredible assets and wisdom to the table every day, and we need to support them. Individuals of our LGBTQIA+ community do not need to change. Efforts to do so can create harm to mental, physical, and emotional health. I want to thank Representative Hollins for her leadership on this issue, and I urge all committee members to support House File 2156.
Thank you for your testimony. The final testifier who has signed up is Holly Parsons. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, and thank you to everybody for having me here. My name is Holly Parsons. I am the treasurer of the Transformations Project. We are a trans rights nonprofit based out of Pennsylvania and Atlanta. Ladies and gentlemen of this committee, I grew up in the Deep South. I spent my whole life living there. Conversion therapy is not a wholesome practice. It's not a cure. What it is it's a cudgel used by abusive parents and religious structures to force their children to get in line. I believe that this bill would be an amazing step in improving the lives of countless LGBT people, not just across your state, but nationwide. This would change lives, improve lives, and save lives. Ladies and gentlemen of this committee, the time is now, the place is here. Vote yes on this bill and end conversion therapy. Make a change and make a difference in the lives of not just the LGBT people in Minnesota or in Minnesota now, but the lives of countless future generations to come. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure speaking here. It's been a pleasure being here. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you for your testimony. And thank you to everyone who has testified. I appreciate you coming to this committee and sharing your views. With that, we will turn to member discussion. The first member on the list that I have is Representative Grunhagen. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I have a couple questions for Representative Hollins. First, I also want to just say that I do appreciate the testifiers. And personally, I have gay and former gay acquaintances and friends. In fact, my first legislative bill that I had signed by Governor Dayton, I had a gay lobbyist help me with that. So we're not trying to attack people per se, as much as address behaviors and the opportunity to get the type of counseling that you want. Also, as far as states, I would ask members and testifiers to research Florida and Texas. They are moving in a different direction than what has been stated as far as reparative therapy is concerned, which I prefer that term versus conversion therapy. Now for the question, Representative Hollis, you know, in the past, pro-abortion advocates, legislative and otherwise, have repeatedly argued against putting laws between the doctor-patient relationship, okay? And yet this bill does exactly that. So isn't that a little bit of a hypocrisy? On the one hand, we're saying, you know, the position of pro-abortion legislators and people is stay out of the doctor-patient relationship. And here we are legally inserting the government into the doctor-patient relationship, if you'd respond.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Grunhagen, for these questions. And I appreciate your, your preface about changing behaviors and not changing people. I would argue that in this situation, it's the same thing. I think that we could say we can talk about, the comparison of this to abortion, but I would argue that what we're doing here is pretty narrowly tailored to say simply youth and vulnerable individuals should not have access to this. And I would argue also that there is an interest for the state to be protecting young people and vulnerable individuals. And we've seen that again and again by what we allow them to have access to. And furthermore, does that mean that you would support abortion rights then if you're against this particular piece of legislation?
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, we can discuss abortion another time, pro or against, okay? But the point is this. I think it's this bill is a dangerous step in terms of inserting government into a doctor-patient relationship. And, of course, we had plenty of testimonies about that. So please think carefully on this as to whether or not you continue to author it. Next question I just have for you quickly is, if you go to the Center for Disease Control, CDC, which we're all familiar with, I would ask people testifying and committee members to go to sexually risky behaviors, okay, on the CDC website. In there, it states, and I quote, many young people engage in sexually risky behaviors and experiences that can result in unintended health outcomes. They go on to list violence in relationships, that they're taught information that does not expose this type of consequence to their behavior. And if we look at our public schools, I just happen to, you know, material on sex ed, and I happen to have it's perfectly normal, we see that a lot of these sexually risky behaviors are presented as normal and optional to our children, which promotes a false dichotomy and preps them into being converted into this behavior, which is going to bring up a lot of STDs and other types of problems. In fact, according to the Center for Disease Control, half of the 20 million new STDs in our country reported each year were between young people, 15 to 24. So Representative Hollins, let's protect the children and actually teach them factual and truthful information about their behavior, and let's protect them and protect the gift of health versus promoting them into this type of promiscuous behavior. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Representative Hollins, would you like to comment or respond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Grunhagen. I think I understand what your statement is, and I think I would push back on that. You know, there is a whole host of activities that young people and children do that are probably not great for their health. And, but our gender identity and sexual orientation isn't one that we really should be trying to control in that manner. It's something that's fundamental to who we are. And I think comparing it and frankly saying that because somebody identifies as LGBTQIA means that they are going to run into sexually transmitted diseases or something like that is just a false equivalence. And I think it's kind of offensive, frankly.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Very quick comment. I know other people have questions. Number one, I quoted CDC statistics. So it's not me. It's the Center for Disease Control, which is a recognized, reputable organization on this. Again, look at the materials that we're teaching the kids. It's perfectly normal, presents a lot of these behaviors as normal and optional. In fact, it's been stated in previous committees, if you showed it's perfectly normal to children outside of a public school setting, you could be arrested for grooming them for pedophilia. That's unfortunately the state of many of our public schools in this state. Please vote against this bill. Thank you.
Representative Bierman.
Oh, can I respond really quickly? I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. Representative Hollins, I apologize. Please do.
Sorry, just very quickly. And I understand that, Representative Grunhagen. And I'll just let you know that I ended up identifying as queer, and nobody taught me that in school, and nobody provided me with any sort of context outside of my very own feelings of attraction. And I think that we would say that, you know, nobody taught you to be straight, right? So in this situation, I just don't see how our school and education factors into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two things. I want to just make a statement about a previous comment, and then I have a question for Mr. Shirka. Wanted to just address Mr. Mel's meeting that we had. We did have a meeting in 2019. I remember the meeting distinctly. And I welcome and listen to all my constituents. and I respect individuals when they come into my office and we speak, and I respect their choices. What I did not do or ever agree to do was to support conversion therapy. And in the intervening years, and the more I learned about conversion therapy, especially from health professionals, the more I deplore it. Anyone who knows me knows where I stand on this issue. No respectable medical organizations support it. We must in Minnesota get on the right side of this issue. And I agree with the statement earlier by Ms. Flowers that this bill is truly a bill for the protection of the most vulnerable. And Minnesota should join the states banning this practice, and I will be working toward that end. I thank Rep. Hollins for bringing this bill forward. And if it doesn't pass this year, I will be supporting it again next year and every year after that I am in this body. Mr. Chair, I just would like to ask a question as well. Shurka.
Mr. Shurka, are you still here? We think he might have left.
Okay. Well, if he left, then I will take it offline with him, and or maybe somebody else knows. He did state the number of sites that are located in Minnesota where conversion therapy is being done, and I just wondered if that is a growing number or a shrinking number, and if somebody on the committee or in the body here today knows, I would appreciate an answer to that.
Yeah. Representative Hollins, is that something you might know, or do you have a testifier in mind who might be good to turn this question over to?
I think if James from out front is here, is he available?
James from out front, if you are here, can you turn on your camera?
Doesn't look like it. I can say my knowledge is that I don't think that it's necessarily a growing number, but we know that it is prevalent in the state of Minnesota. For example, when Bloomington banned this practice, there were three clinics currently practicing conversion therapy in Bloomington.
Thank you. That's helpful information.
Thank
you. Yep.
Thank you
Representative
very much,
Chairman. Chair. Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and obviously thank you to all the testifiers that came forward today, especially those that told their very personal stories and their personal connection. And I know there's a lot of emotion and feeling that's behind that. And I know sometimes I start getting choked up, and because it is so true and so real. So thank you for coming forward. I also feel like I need to be both visible and heard on this issue in support of my LGBTQ constituents, as well as my friends and family that I've known. So glad to be here, glad to be able to vote yes to this. And I just wanted to give my reasoning on it. I thought that was important testimony that we had from the Assistant Commissioner of Health, that we need to make it clear to families that the preponderance of medical experts, the preponderance of associations are saying that not only is this not an effective treatment, but this is a harmful treatment. And we have to go with that evidence. And so we have to use the evidence, the overwhelming evidence from the consensus of our medical associations of where we stand today is that we need to ban it, and we need to ban it to make sure that families understand that this would be doing harm to their children. So I think that's an important obligation that we have today, and that's why I intend to vote yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Representative Egbadje.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Hollins, for bringing this forward. I am so grateful for your leadership on this. You know, in the state of Minnesota, we should always strive to be more inclusive and more protective, particularly of our youth and of vulnerable people. As we've heard from so many testifiers today, there is no real benefit from this type of therapy, and conversion therapy actually causes harm to so many of our LGBTQ youth. And I also want to say, you know, I also stand here as a person of faith, and my faith doesn't promote hate. as some, you know, and it really is disappointing to see so many people who are using religion as a cover for hate and control. And as someone who is a believer, I just want to state that my faith does not adhere to that, and that we are welcoming of all people, and that we are welcoming of all people's paths. And I also just want to make it clear to all of our LGBTQ youth that are watching that you are loved and you are beautiful and you are perfect the way you are. So thank you again, Representative Hollins, for bringing this bill, and I look forward to voting yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Egbeje. Representative Ackland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I too thank all the testifiers. It's important for us to hear from everyone. And as I've listened, I hear strong testimony on both sides of this. But one question that I have for Representative Hollins is this. As I read the bill states that conversion therapy is a praxis that seeks to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity. And this is what this bill is attempting to ban. But just two lines down, the bill actually seems to contradict itself by stating that conversion therapy does not include counseling that provides assistance to an individual undergoing gender transition. So can you clarify for me that the bill, as written, that it's permissible to provide counseling that provides assistance to an individual undergoing gender transition? So in this case, it would be an individual that would have presented with a request for acceptance or support and understanding to help them cope with their desire to change their sexual orientation or gender identity. But it seems to me that the reverse would also be true, that an individual might present to the practitioner or a professional seeking help for support and counseling to help them cope with their personal issues of sexual orientation or gender identity. So these decisions have lifelong consequences. And as I listen to, and as you answer that question, my concern is we seem to be very divided on this, testimony in favor, testimony against, science for, science against. I don't think we know the true answer here. And so while trying to protect one group of individuals, I'm afraid that we would be doing harm to another group of individuals.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Ackland, for that really thoughtful question. What I will say is that when we look at counseling that provides assistance to individuals undergoing gender transition, it typically, that is a situation that is defined by the medical community as gender-affirming care. And my understanding is that is a totally separate diagnosis that goes through the medical system. So there is no medical diagnosis to change somebody's sexual orientation or gender identity from what they personally identify with. When somebody seeks out care because it's gender affirming or, gender affirming care in that situation, that's something that they are seeking out, and also something that that has its own diagnosis and its own field of medicine associated with it. So that's my understanding. I'm sure if my counterpart at Outfront Minnesota was here to speak on this, they would be able to be a little more eloquent about it. I am not a medical professional. I suppose I can't call in another member of this committee, but if Representative Morrison wanted to speak on this, if she has any familiarity with it, that would be great.
Representative Hollins, I thought your answer was very well put. So members are aware too, we are generally scheduled to go until noon. We have been given permission to go a little bit later. I would like to aim for a vote by 12:10 or 12:15. But I do want to make sure that all members who have questions are able to get at least one in here. So, Representative Ackland, did you have a follow-up?
Just a comment. Thank you. Thank you for your answer. I still feel like there's still a lot of gray area here that that really needs to be vetted out before we make a decision like this that would affect families, children, that would affect everybody. And some of them it could affect very negatively, I'm afraid. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, Representative Ackland actually hit on a concern that I think should be highlighted again, and I hope that we can look at it a little more closely. I also have a follow-up question, if that's okay, Mr. Chair, but I'm going to look, just like Representative Ackland did, at this line 1.14. Conversion therapy does not include counseling that provides assistance to an individual undergoing gender transition or counseling, and then so on and so forth. It does bring up a serious question, I think, and if the bill author could tell us what the intent is here, and I'm just going to continue down that same sort of line of questioning as Representative Ackland, except ask if the converse is true, if anyone in the field that is described under sections, and this is line 0.10, 245.4562, subdivision 17, if anyone in what I guess is being described as that professional section in terms of a definition, if they are, like I said, conversely, attempting to change a heterosexual's behavior to something else, is that okay under this language, or is that prohibited? So, for example, if a person falling under the technical definition offered in those lines of a healthcare professional is offering or pushing someone, say Johnny, to become and he's say birth gender is male, and now they're offering support or pressuring or falling under the general guidelines in this language to become a female, is that prohibited?
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Heintzman, for the question. I'm not entirely sure how to answer that question because I have never in my time seen a situation where there is a paid entity that is pushing for somebody to become gay or transition. People don't typically pay for services like that. And so I've never seen that. And so I'm not entirely sure how to answer that question.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, you know, we're trying to be thoughtful about the language and think about the implications going forward. And if that scenario did exist, I'm just trying to determine if the language that you're providing today has had the foresight to consider that that is a potential outcome. And if that potentially could be a future scenario, what does your language do? How does it impact this issue?
I mean, speaking for myself, Representative Hollins can certainly chime in. I mean, the way I read it, it says conversion therapy is any procedure that seeks to change an individual's sexual orientation. So, I mean, I would think that would prohibit it from going either direction. But Representative Hollins, do you have any comment?
Yep. I mean, I would agree. I think the language is neutral in which direction we're talking about. So certainly if there was a paid service that somebody was paying for to change them to be homosexual mm-hmm. or trans, change their gender identity, that would not be allowed either.
Representative Heintzman, final follow-up, then I have one more member on the list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as per conversation at the beginning of the committee, I hope that we continue to have time to thoroughly vet the bill. I'm also looking at the lines 2.14 2.1, I guess you could say, through 2.3. And that goes through some of the enforcement of this law should it go forward. If I'm reading correctly, I think that there could be fines up to $10,000 per incident where a licensing board may find someone guilty of breaking this law if it was to go forward. Am I reading incorrectly?
Representative Hollins.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? You cut out a little bit.
Representative Heintzman.
Yeah, I can do that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in lines 2.1 through 2.3, there's a discussion or a description of the enforcement of this, and it's instructing the licensing board to go through a process and determine, I think, what the disciplinary action might be. I'm assuming that they could lose their license, that there could be fines. I was just hoping that maybe you could walk us through what the enforcement of this bill would look like.
Representative Hollins?
Yes, thank you. Okay, I understand the question. Yes, I mean, I think that we are, because this is broad and because we know that there are different individuals with different licenses practicing this in this area, if they are, you know, subject to a licensing board, then that licensing board would have to determine what the consequences of, you know, conducting this practice that if this bill passed would be illegal, what those what that punitive process looks like.
Representative Heintzman, final comment?
Well, it might be my final comment. I might have some more questions also, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering if Representative Hollins could confirm one way or another if you could be facing up to a $10,000 fine per incident if the licensing board found someone guilty of violating the law that you're proposing today.
Representative Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I honestly don't know. It depends on which licensing board you are reporting to.
Representative Heintzman.
This is just one of a lot of questions I think need to be answered, Mr. Chairman. And in the time that we've been allowed today, I don't think we're going to get at the answer. And I think it's obviously very important that we know what the enforcement of this bill looks like. If the bill author doesn't know, it'd be nice maybe if nonpartisan staff or someone else here today could tell us what the enforcement might look like. It would also be great to know if those $10,000 fines potentially, which I think is in our statute book as 148B-.59, subdivision 13B. I could be wrong, but I would like confirmation, Mr. Chairman. So if nonpartisan could answer that, that'd be super helpful. And I'd also like to know if those penalties could be stackable. So are we looking at one $10,000 fine potentially as a maximum, or are we could be potentially looking at, significantly more?
Is nonpartisan staff here?
Hi. Yes, Mr. Chair and members, Sarah Sunderman from House Research. I don't normally staff this division, but so each board has a different section of statute and the penalties differ with each board. I'm looking at the social work board statutes. In 148E.260, there are a lot, though, there are a lot of boards that would be involved in this. It lists the general disciplinary actions that the board has the power to impose, depending on the violation, and it's discretionary with the board. Number 7 is imposing a civil penalty of up to $10,000 for each violation, but again, that is general. And I haven't had time during this hearing to look at all the other ones, but that is an example of a list of potential disciplinary actions. But again, it would be up to the individual board of the licensee in question.
Thank you, Ms. Sunderman. I apologize for putting you on the spot there, but I appreciate the answer. That is consistent with what Representative Hollins said about there being multiple boards with different provisions in place. And also, I mean, you know, if the function of this bill is to declare conversion therapy a practice, I think it makes sense that it would just be subject to disciplinary procedures that are present for any of these boards. Representative Heintzman, I've been pretty patient with you. It sounds like you have another question.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that. And I hope you understand that not having answers to these questions requires a lot of patience on our part as well. These are the kinds of questions that we should have answers to before this bill leaves this committee. And quite honestly, a bill without these questions being answered conclusively should probably be tabled, Mr. Chairman, so that we can get answers and 100% conclusively know how this bill will affect people and how those penalties could or could not potentially be stacked. It seems unreasonable that we would not have an absolute conclusive answer to whether or not these penalties that would be subjected, that folks could be subjected to, could be stacking hundreds or at least tens of thousands of dollars. And some of the definitions that are offered here, or at least some of the criteria in lines 1.12, in efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions or to eliminate or reduce, so on and so forth, there's a lot there to unpack. So if the boards that would be in charge of going through and deciding how to assess penalties could include multiple violations, cumulatively adding tens or more thousands of dollars in fines, it would probably be pretty important that this committee establish one way or another before this was to move forward.
Thank you, Representative Heintzman. Representative Morrison.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Heintzman, Representative Morrison has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank Representative Hollins for her leadership on this really important issue of banning the unscientific and cruel so-called practice of conversion therapy. I also want to thank former Representative Hunter Cantrell, who led on this issue previously, and I think said it best today, LGBTQ plus people are perfect just the way they are. There have been some pretty hurtful and harmful and misinformed statements made today. So I just want to say to everyone in the LGBTQ community and to the people who love them that they are beautiful, they are worthy, they are deserving, they are important and loved, and they make our world better. So thank you, Representative Hollins, and thank you, Chair Freiberg.
Thank you, Representative Morrison. There are no other members on the list. I just want to make a comment here. As chair of this committee, I try to moderate testimony dispassionately and not favor one side over the other. But now that the discussion and the testimony is over, I'm going to take the prerogative as chair and speak in favor of this bill. So I was elected in 2012 when the marriage amendment was on the ballot. That amendment was defeated, and same-sex marriage was passed legislatively a year later. It seemed like we were moving the right direction in terms of acceptance of GLBTQIA people, but based on the testimony we've heard today and hearing about what people have gone through, it's clear we have a long way to go. Bills targeting GLBT youth are being discussed in Texas and Florida, and it must be a terrifying moment for gay, queer, and trans youth in those states. They're being told by elected officials that their feelings and their identity are wrong. As Representative Egbaje put it very well, you are beautiful the way you are. That's why this bill is so important, why I co-authored it, and why I will be proud to vote for it. Representative Hollins, thank you for your leadership taking on this bill during your first term. Would you like to have the last word before we vote?
Absolutely. I'll be very brief. I want to thank the committee. I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank all of the testifiers today. I think that this was a really robust conversation, and I know that we have a lot further to go, but I implore you to acknowledge the inherent okayness with all human beings. We are who we are, and we deserve acceptance, and we deserve love. And so with that, I would ask you to please vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. So with that, I will renew my motion that House File 2156 be recommended to be re-referred to the Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. Will the clerk please take the roll?
Chair Freiberg.
Yes.
Freiberg, aye. Vice Chair Bierman.
Yes.
Bierman, aye. Representative Grunhagen.
No.
Grunhagen, nay. Representative Akam.
Akam, aye.
Akam, aye. Representative Abaje.
Abaje, aye.
Abaje, aye. Representative Ackland.
Ackland, no.
Ackland, nay. Representative Carlson.
Carlson, yes.
Carlson, aye. Representative Franzen.
Franzen, no.
Franzen, nay. Representative Heintzman.
No.
Heintzman, nay. Representative Morrison.
Morrison, aye.
Morrison, aye. Representative Pryor.
Pryor, aye.
Pryor, aye. Chair, you have 7 ayes and 4 nays.
There being 7 ayes and 4 nays, the bill is passed. Thank you, Representative Hollins, for your testimony and for bringing this bill forward. Thank you to members of the committee. Thank you to everyone who testified on this bill. Thank you for staying a little bit late. There is no further business. And so with that, we are adjourned.